Good morning. I'm Matt Schaefer. Welcome to the Boston Sunday Review. Is your terrier terrible? Does your spaniel spit? Is your pug nacious? We welcome back one of our favorite guests, Jennifer Vickery of the Positive Dog. That's P-A-W-S-I-T-I-V-E. The Positive Dog, dog trainers in Boston. She's here in the studio, and she's here to answer your phone calls to help you with your problem pooch. And we're taking your calls at 617-931-1041. That's 617-931-1041. If you have a problem with your dog, Jennifer, well, I mean, if you've ever heard her before, she's kind of like the Sigmund Freud of dogs. She's amazing, and good morning. Quite an introduction, huh?
Good morning, Matt. It was wonderful. Thank you.
You guys are celebrating your 12th anniversary with $112 gift certificates to local pounds.
We are, actually. This year we decided, with the economy and so many dogs in rescue, that we asked our clientele to nominate 100 different shelters and breed rescues. And starting next week, we're distributing $112 gift certificates to help those dogs become more adoptable.
I understand that one of the real problems with this recession is that folks can't actually care for their dogs. They find that it's too expensive and all too often are abandoning them.
I know. It's absolutely horrible. There's been an incredible influx of dogs to shelters, even here in New England and the Boston area. So we're hoping that this will help out some of those needy dogs.
12 years.
12 years.
What have you learned over 12 years?
I think what we found over the past 12 years is that our clients are incredibly dedicated to our dogs, especially here in the Boston area. Many, many dog owners are really willing to go above and beyond to make sure that their dogs are able to form lifelong partnerships with themselves and their family members, their children, etc.
Is it because you are dealing with folks and dogs who live in the city?
I do believe that being in the city creates its own set of unique challenges. Many of our clients have dogs that have to ride the elevator several times a day and are going to work with them and certainly walking down congested city sidewalks. So we have found that being in the city, these dogs are required to show a little bit more stable temperament, have better obedience, and better manners to exist in society.
When and why do people typically contact you?
You know, Matt, it really is a range. We have people contacting us as early as they're considering getting a puppy, and they come to us at the Positive Dog for pre-canine counseling, and we sit down with them and talk about which breed might work for them. But we also have many people, obviously, who call after they've adopted or secured a dog, purchased a dog, starting from 7 weeks of age right on up to 7, 8 years of age.
We've got Gina joining us on the phone right now. Once again, Jennifer Vickery of the Positive Dog is in our studio. We're taking your calls at 617-931-1041. And when you get on the air, please turn your radio down or off. Gina, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you. What kind of dog do you have, and what's his or her name?
Okay, her name is Zoe, and she's a Yorkie Terry.
She's a Yorkie. Wonderful. And what can we do for you?
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
The dog is 4 years old, okay? And those dogs tend to shake a little bit, and, you know, they have a little bit of separation anxiety and whatnot. We work full-time, and she goes to the bathroom on a little mat, you know, in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're home, she's wonderful with going to the bathroom and whatnot. It seems every time we leave the house, okay, or we don't pay much attention to her, you know, if we're, you know, doing whatnot, she tends to go to the bathroom off the mat. And it seems to be a daily thing.
Okay, I'm sure.
You know,
that's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, it sure is, you know, because she knows to go on the mat. I mean, she's been doing it, you know, since she's been, you know, 2 months old.
Okay, well, there's several things we can do here, Gina. Certainly with a four-year-old dog, if she's repeatedly having accidents, there is a little bit of miscommunication and confusion somewhere. The first thing that I would do is I might go back to treating her a little bit more like a puppy and really rewarding her for going potty on her wee-wee pad or her mat.
Watch it.
What did you say?
Well, my name is Matt, so I'm a little sensitive about the issue.
Okay.
So what I would do is we'll bring her over to the wee-wee pad. We'll term this appropriately.
Thank you.
And maybe have her on the leash. And when she does go, you literally visually catch her in the act. What I would do, Gina, is label the behavior. What we want to do with this dog is come up with a potty command. And we're going to label the behavior and give her lots of rewards. So before you know it, you can tell her, hurry up or go potty or get busy. She can go to the mat on command and go potty. We don't just want to take a disciplinary approach to when she is having accidents, but we want to really reward when she's going on the right spot.
Okay.
When you, I'm sorry, Matt.
So you say the first thing she needs to do is give Zoe the idea that there's a specific verbal command to relieve herself.
Absolutely. And to not only learn that verbal command.
And reward her.
You got to make the association that that verbal command combined with the action equals several pieces of hot dogs, for example. So there's
okay.
a reason for her to feel motivated to go there. What
okay.
I would also do is I do discipline dogs for having accidents in the house, and you certainly don't want to rub her nose in it or get out the rolled up newspaper, but I would bring her on over to the accident, show it to her, shame on you, Zoe, and then I always clean it up, Gina, with an enzyme treatment such as Nature's Miracle, Spot Gobbler. You never want to use any products that are ammonia-based because your little Yorkie will think that someone else is marking there as well. And after you... So she'll be more inclined to go potty there again.
Okay.
And then the last thing you want to do is you want to feed her in the areas that she's been having accidents. For a lot of these dogs, living in your house is like a mansion for a dog. It's a very, very large and overwhelming den.
And we do have a very, very large house.
Okay, so we want to make sure that she understands that the whole house is an eating and sleeping area, and the only potty area is the wee-wee pad. So wherever she has an accident, after you've cleaned it up and used an enzyme treatment, let's make sure that you feed her in that area.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
So you've got a three-step plan here.
That's awesome.
Okay, and good luck and happy Easter.
You as well. God
okay,
bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. You
thank
too.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. We've got
bye-bye.
We've got David joining us on the line right now. Once again, the phone number here at BCN at Boston Sunday Review is 617-931-1041. Jennifer Vickery of the Positive Dog is our guest. David, are you there? No, he seems to have hung up. So let's get rid of that, Sean. Thank you. Again, we're taking your phone calls at 617-931-1041. Jennifer Vickery, the Positive Dog, in the studio here. Jen, who's harder to train, your four-legged or two-legged clients?
I honestly could say it's probably the two-legged clients. You know, we tend to have preconceived notions about our dogs, and that actually directly correlates with our dog's behavior. The four-legged clients tend to live in the moment and respond accordingly. We tend to hold on to previous issues or behaviors and have expectations about our dogs. So it takes a little bit more education for the owners of the dogs versus the actual canines themselves.
Jill joins us now here on the BSR. Jill, good morning. What seems to be the problem over here? Are people hanging up, or are we having or is the board screwing up on us? Okay, well, again, the phone number here at BCN, 617-931-1041. 12 years doing this.
12 years.
What sorts of problems do you come up against time and time again?
You know, we really do get a little bit of everything. Here at the Positive Dog, we found over the years that we do quite a bit of work with owners who are having aggression issues. So I would say a third of our clientele are people who have dogs who are showing inappropriate aggression at either their owners or other people, cats, other dogs. So we do tend to do quite a bit of work with that. But we also really run the gamut, anything from housebreaking, as our previous caller with the Yorkie, right on up to a dog who wants to be a therapy dog or have off-leash control or even compete at the Nationals.
And are these aggression issues things that come up suddenly, or are they things that develop over time?
they really, truly, Matt, are issues that have developed over time. Unfortunately, the dog is speaking a language that many owners may miss the warning signs. So it does appear to come up suddenly for many owners, but usually there are issues that have developed over several months or potentially even several years.
Let's try again with Jill. Jill, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us about your dog.
His name's Milo. He's about 3 years old. He's a Springer Spaniel Golden Retriever mix.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And yeah, what's his problem?
We live in a very wooded area, and he gets really nervous with the squirrels and the birds. And he kind of will run from one window to the next window and will whimper and scratch the floors as he's running.
Okay, so when you're home, he'll be running back and forth?
Yes, when we're home.
Okay, so there's several different things we can do here, and you have two working breeds combined, so I'm sure your dog does have a lot of excitement and anticipation to get outside and do something and looking out the window. The first thing we want to do is make sure that we're providing this dog with quite a bit of mental and physical stimulation. Mm-hmm. So, okay. The second thing that we want to do is really reward all the appropriate behaviors in the house. So what I might do with this dog is rather than feeding him from his bowl, I might be carrying the food around with me when I'm home. And when you see him actually place himself in that calm, stable state of mind, for example, he actually takes a deep breath and goes and lies down, I would be rewarding and treating that behavior. So we want to, although we may discipline as well, we want to make sure we're giving him direction so he understands what is appropriate, what you do want of him. Taking a deep breath and lying on his dog bed, that's wonderful. Not only am I comfortable, I'm relaxed, but my owner's giving me repeated rewards on a regular basis. The other thing I might do is take a little bit more of a reactive approach with this dog and leave a house leash on him, Jill. And a house leash would be a leash that he drags. So when he is running to the window or the door or jumping on the furniture to get a quick peek outside, you have something you could grab to redirect him away from that area versus just kind of yelling or clapping or saying, get off, get out of there, be quiet.
Is there a command she should use when she redirects and she grabs the leash?
Certainly, if he's barking, Matt, she may want to apply the command quiet with that little snap on the leash.
Yeah, and that's or what leave I do it. With my other dog, so.
Absolutely. And the nice thing about that is if Jill was to, for example, just yell across the room, quiet, quiet, as the dog is whining and barking at the squirrels and the birds, what she'd actually be doing is barking with her Springer cross and basically saying, let's get them, the squirrels, you have backup, and encouraging the behavior. So we don't want to do that. We want her to grab that leash, give a quick little flick, say quiet or leave it, and then make sure she also rewards when he is exhibiting correct behavior.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Jill, best of luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 617-931-1041. Jennifer Vickery of The Positive Dog. You were saying that many of your two-legged quiets don't realize that their animals are speaking a language they don't know. Much of what you do is based on the alpha dog theory. What is it?
Well, actually, dogs are pack animals, and they're social climbers. So in the dog pack, there really is no such thing as equals. So to your dog, you're either above the dog in the relationship or you're actually beneath the dog in the relationship. So we really need to follow that kind of follow the leader mentality. Ideally, of course, we want all of our clients to be the leader that their dog wants them to be. So what we try to do is help them, if you will, unleash their inner alpha by making sure that they can give little specific exercises that give their dog a way and a leader that they can respect.
How much of what you do is based on anthropomorphic theorizing?
Well, I think that certainly our clients do quite a bit of that. They may interpret a behavior very differently than we're going to interpret the behavior.
How much of what you do is based on observation and common sense?
Quite a bit, actually. Usually, as a dog walks into our facility for a consultation where we're going to assess the dog and sit down with the owner, it takes 30 seconds to really assess where the dog is and why the owner is having certain behaviors.
Let's say good morning to David. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. We're well. Tell us about your dog.
Okay, I have a full-blooded beagle. His name is Cody.
Cody, okay.
Uh-huh, and he's constantly pulling food off the table, and also I have four children now. The two younger ones, he'll take the food right out of their hand, a cookie or anything right out of their hand.
Okay, so he's a little greedy.
Yes.
Okay, and that's very typical beagle behavior. They tend to be very, very greedy. And I don't know if you heard the previous caller, Jill, one of the things I mentioned was carrying around some food so the dog can earn the food from you. This is something that I would recommend with your beagle as well. This is an incredibly smart animal who's bred and designed to do a job. And oftentimes, as house pets, we don't give them enough mental stimulation.
What
and
dog
jobs.
Are they bred and designed to do?
They're actually designed to go out and work with the hunters. They are initially doing rabbits, hunting rabbits.
So what does David do with Cody?
So what we want David to do with Cody is, rather than giving Cody food in a dog bowl, what we want to do is have Cody earn all of his food from David and his children. So what I would start with is having them label and reward every single behavior that Cody does that they like. And that way Cody can start to problem solve and really think about what's appropriate and not inappropriate, because every time he does something appropriate, he's getting acknowledged and rewarded. And what we're going to teach him as we do this is that he must wait for you and your children to give him the food, that he's actually not able to take the food from you.
So the dog bowl leaves the floor of the kitchen, and all the food is going to be given to Cody by hand from David and his kids?
Absolutely. And the way they're going to do that, there's a couple steps here. The first is they're going to label and reward anything that's appropriate from Cody. So if he happens to be the type of dog who wants to jump on the coffee table, we're not just going to chastise that behavior. We're going to reward an alternative positive behavior, such as being on his dog bed or coming when called or stretching. You can really get creative with this. But what we really want to do with Cody, since he's snatching food out of the children's hand, is we want to teach him self-restraint. So what we're going to do as we feed him is we're going to hold that food, David, in the palm of your hand with your thumb, not in your fingertips.
Okay.
And what we want to do is push that food into Cody. So he actually is retracting his head, taking the food with his tongue and his lips versus taking his teeth and reaching and taking the food from you.
Okay.
And once he can do that gently, what you're going to do is we want to start teaching this dog how to look at you and gain permission to take food. So I'd like you to have your food, and you can have Cody on leash for this, in both hands, and close your hands into fists. And you're going to wait for Cody to stop nudging your hands. You can press them into your legs and your thighs if you need to. And when Cody actually makes eye contact with you, you're going to reward him with a piece of that food. And what we're going to teach him is that nudging your hands get nothing, pawing, nudging, whining, barking for the food. But the minute he stops being persistent and he makes eye contact, essentially having good manners, he's going to get rewarded with the food.
That's so smart.
We're going to teach him a little self-control. And beagles are amazingly smart, actually. They're incredibly food motivated.
So basically, you're going to have the food in front of him. Cody, being Cody, is really going to go for it.
Probably.
David is not going to allow that to happen. Cody's going to get frustrated and finally give up, look up at David. And once he's acknowledged that David's got the food,
and that David's the provider and the leader, David's instantly going to reward that dog with the food.
And so does he say, good, Cody?
He can, absolutely. He doesn't have to. But yes, we definitely want to make sure that the reward
that
and the timing is appropriate.
So smart.
Very good. Now, is that something that, I mean, how long of doing that before we can actually put the food back in the bowl and have him eat there?
Well, what I would probably recommend doing is have everybody feed him this way for a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then I would continue to feed some of his food this way for quite a while. The nice thing about this for Cody is it gives him a mental outlet. It provides him with mental stimulation and an easy way to bond with every member of the family. So it's a nice way to maintain good manners even after you've already taught them.
Plus, it's an acknowledgement that the family's all above him in the pecking order.
Absolutely, even the children. So it's something that I would keep up for a while.
Okay, good.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Happy
you.
Easter.
And when we come back, more questions for Jennifer Vickery of The Positive Dog. You are tuned to the Boston Sunday Review.